What do Democrats and Republicans have set for economic policy as we're about to enter year two of the Trump presidency? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Senate could be well on its way to changing parts of the post-crisis financial reform law known as Dodd-Frank. Republicans have been calling for repeal since the law was signed in 2010, but a new reform bill in the Senate right now also enjoys support from Democrats. Marketplace's Ryan Kailath is here live to discuss. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, David. Yeah, so the script for the last 10 years, if you're a Democrat, has basically been, you know, these Dodd-Frank safeguards are essential to preventing another crisis. And if you're a Republican, no, what's good for banks is good for America. But, you know, this current Senate reform bill actually has 11 Democrat co-sponsors right now. And the biggest piece of getting that is that this bill mostly focuses on small banks, community banks. It exempts them from a lot of the stress tests in place since 2010. And it would also change mortgage rules for a lot of small banks. So if you want a mortgage right now, you have to meet strict requirements about your level of debt and whatnot. This bill keeps those rules in place for the big mega banks that tend to take your mortgage payments and gamble them on Wall Street. But it eases the rules for the little community bank or credit union around the corner that's generally making small loans around town.
All right. Marketplace's Ryan Kailath, thank you. As we approach the Trump administration's one-year anniversary, we're looking more broadly at the economic agenda ahead. Tomorrow, a prominent conservative voice will help us with what's next. Today, what do the Democrats have? Felicia Wong is the president and CEO of the progressive-leaning nonpartisan think tank, the Roosevelt Institute. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
The Republicans think they nailed it. They got their tax overhaul, not very popular, and we have been parsing its pluses and minuses for weeks here. But you talk to a lot of prominent Democrats. What do they got for the new year?
I think that Democrats are really encroaching on the idea that what's really hurting our economy is corporations that aren't really healthy anymore. They're hoarding rather than investing. And that's a huge problem for Americans. That's a huge problem for people who want jobs and economic security. The big question, David, is when are they going to get there? And whether there's going to be a coherent worldview behind those pieces of an agenda that will be lasting beyond any single election cycle.
You know, when companies try to sell you something, they brand it and they come up with a succinct message for it. The Democrats have that yet? I mean, what did Chuck Schumer, the New York senator, use in the last year? Oh, he said a better deal. Is that good enough?
I think what's more important to talk about within the context of the better deal are the components of what Senator Schumer and his fellow Democrats were really getting at. He talked about antitrust and the problems of corporations that had just gotten too big. You know, whether or not that has yet to be branded, that is a longer conversation to have.
But also, I mean, really, you have to connect something as abstract as antitrust, corporations are getting too big in that view, with people's lives. You have to make the next connection, which is therefore you're not getting paid as much as you should or something, don't they?
You definitely have to do that. I don't think that's the world's easiest case to make. That's why I go back to this question of worldview. But people do understand that overwhelming corporate power is something that they don't really feel comfortable with, they don't really want to live with. But in order for this to truly connect with the American voter, Democrats, politicians are going to have to connect this problem of corporate power to kitchen table issues, to jobs, to wages, to people's daily economic lives. This is actually a huge challenge. It will take time, but when Democrats are able to do that, that's when they're going to have that brand.
Felicia Wong, President and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute here in New York. Thank you.
Thank you.
What could conservatives embrace next on the economic front in Trump year two? A conversation about that is set for tomorrow on the air here, and both conversations will be on demand at marketplace.org or in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. Let me check the markets here. Many Asian stock market indicators went higher overnight, with the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.8%. Europe is following here, with the DAX in Germany up 1.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up sharply, I would say, plus 0.9% for the Dow future. The S&P future up 0.5%. The 100-share index in the UK is flat, though, as that country deals with a kind of Enron collapse, the sudden bankruptcy of a massive government contractor, the construction firm Carillion. We'll be right back. The future of driving may be closer than we thought. General Motors has just announced plans to mass produce a fully autonomous car by next year, 2019. GM's all in here. The car won't have a steering wheel or pedals if all of this gets the go-ahead from federal regulators. And Ford and others aren't far behind. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
You're not going to be able to go out and buy a driverless car next year. But in dense urban areas like L.A. or Boston, you might be able to hail a ride in one. GM's Cruise AV would operate in fleets restricted to areas where the roads have been intricately mapped.
Because this is not a vehicle that's intended to operate anywhere and everywhere, it's very feasible for such a car to be on the market next year.
Analyst Ed Kim with research firm Auto Pacific. Ford plans to produce a fully autonomous vehicle by 2021. Alphabet's Waymo is testing self-driving minivans. Sam Abu El-Samad with Navigant Research says at first they'll be limited to ride-hailing and commercial delivery services.
The vehicles are going to be expensive. There's going to be liability concerns. So it will probably be middle to late 2020s before you can really buy a highly automated vehicle.
Which gives us all more time to get used to the idea of riding in cars with no one driving. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And how will the steering wheel and pedal-less robot car know where you want to go? Maybe they just want to attach it to Google, which will just know where you want to go, the way Google often just knows. We noticed in your email that you mentioned food a lot, so we're driving you to Popeyes, whether you like it or not. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.